Good morning, all. I must confess, at this moment, I feel I am the most uncomfortable person. I have for quite some time struggled with the thought, or actions that show me that I try to do things by my strength. Not letting God take control. But I assure you, that all things that I have done right have never been my ability. And I just pray that I will learn to let go and let God take control. And speaking about the passage for today, it is something that I find that I keep asking myself. Am I the right person to speak about this? Do I practice it? No. I come in here declaring Jesus Christ as my King. But is that what I practice? Our passage for today is taken from James 2, starting from verse 1 to 13. And the title of that passage is Favoritism Forbidden. Favoritism forbidden. Can I please ask for volunteers to help us read? Two volunteers, please. One to read James chapter 2, starting from verse 1 to 7, and the second person to read from verse 8 to 13, please.
It's all right. It's all right. Okay, sister, yeah, I guess.
My dear brothers and sisters, fellow believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, how could we say that we have faith in him and yet we favour one group of people above another? Suppose an influential man comes into your worship meeting wearing gold rings and expensive clothing, and also a homeless man in shabby clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the rich man in expensive clothes and say, "Here's a seat of honour for you right up front," but you turn and say to the poor beggar dressed in rags, "You can stand over here or sit over there on the floor in the back," then you've demonstrated gross prejudice among yourselves and used evil standards of judgment. So listen carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God shown the poor in the world's eyes to be those who are rich in faith? And won't they be the heirs of the kingdom realm he promised to those who love him? But yet you insult and shun the poor in your efforts to impress the rich. Isn't it the wealthy who exploit you and drag you into court? Aren't they the very ones who've blasphemed the beautiful name of the one you now belong to?
Thank you. Now we have heard the message from James chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Favoritism. What we see or hear on favoritism, partiality, bigotry, prejudice, racism, and such terms are not new. They were there since the inception of man. We saw it through Adam when he tried to defend himself on the first sin to favor himself, blaming the woman that God gave him. Just trying to push the blame to somebody else. Subsequently, we saw it also when Isaac and his family. Isaac was getting old, and he needed to bless his child. What happened? In fact, let's look at Genesis 27, 5 to 10. Genesis 27, 5 to 10. I read that for us, please. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessings in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessings before he dies." This is within the family, within siblings. why did that happen? Why? Some may say we are wired to do that. But why do we do it? As Christians, we are told in Romans 2, verse 11, that God does not show favoritism. And we declare, we accept that we are children of God. Why do we do it? Why do we show favoritism? Why are we partial? Even within families, within the community, in organizations. Why do we tend to flatter our subordinates and then overlook or disregard our subordinates? Why do we do that? The Bible also tells us that we have a master. We have a God who is master of us all. And he cautions all in Galatians 3:26 that in Christ we are all children of God, no matter our social status. Be you African, Asian, European, American, we are all the same before God. We are heirs to his kingdom. All of us. Why do we receive some people better than others? In fact, we were discussing with Brother Steve a little earlier, and we were just discussing about how life is, and he just threw in this, why don't you retire? I told him, the mortgage is there to be paid. And I now started thinking, the mortgage is there to be paid. Do you think you can do it by your strength? Why must you pay the mortgage? Why don't you let God do it? And the thought that came to me after that is, I am not doing it because of the mortgage. I am doing it because how will my family look at me? How will they think about me? How will my neighbors look at me with the way the society is going? Yes, I may be thrown out of the house, and then I become homeless, just like the homeless people that I don't respect. Is that my fear? Is that what I'm afraid of? Why then do I declare that Christ is my Lord? If I don't have that faith, why then do I treat the poor the way I do? Now, so many thoughts. I remember in how and where I grew up. Our house was opposite a mosque. My children have been to my village. I don't know whether they remember that they saw a mosque opposite our house. And we grew up with the children of the imam. Sometimes we go into the mosque. And now, they didn't have any chairs in the mosques. All they had, there were mats on the floor. And I used to think that it was because they were poor. Now, because when we go to church, we have seats. And then, of course, the people that are highly placed in the community will be on the choicest, you know, seats. They are respected. It was until I started going outside my community and seeing that, oh no, all mosques are the same. They don't have chairs in there. So everybody sits on the floor. I started thinking. And also I noted that those people tend to be more caring to the people in the community than my fellow Christians. They tended to be more tolerant of the underprivileged than my own people. And then, of course, you find that the so-called underprivileged were mostly people that were of their faith. But doesn't it occur to one that this so-called underprivileged that are majorly in the other faith are there because of the reception they get there? Because they are treated better in that faith? Does that occur to us? Now, some of you may see our little fellowship here and think that that is how churches are. No. Especially where I come from. Churches are different. And yet, we declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord. In this country, you go to some churches, you find that the pastors go about with bodyguards. I don't know whether any of you have seen that. But the members of the congregation go to the pastor for prayers for God to protect them. Where is that from? Are we any better than the people of other faith? This is something that we need to reorientate ourselves and bring ourselves back to the Word of God. To submit ourselves to the Word of God. Yes, I know, for example, for me, it is really very difficult. It is very difficult. It is something that I do every day, even that I am speaking with you now. It is something that, in my thinking, I see every day. Now, you find that, for example, I go to work using public transport, and I go in there, I am speaking about myself. There is that tendency for me to sit near somebody that looks more like me than not. And when we come into church, it's the same thing. We tend to gravitate towards people that look more like us. Why? And yet we are brethren. Well, these are some of the things, as I said, I struggle with. It's not any other person. I do it. Why? We tend to look at the appearance. We tend to look at appearances. Oh, how that man looks, how that woman looks. We tend to be more tolerant of people that are more like us, or people that are influential, or people that look attractive, or people that have more money than us, or our superiors in the office, and so on. And those people that we think are beneath us should not have our attention. Even in the church, First Samuel 16:7. Let's look at First Samuel 16:7. Can somebody read First Samuel 16:7 for us, please? Okay, I can read. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Let's strive. Let's strive to be like Jesus. Let's try. Because we are called to be his children, so let's follow in his footsteps. Now, somebody may say that when Jesus came, he associated or dined with the rich. Yes. We should not confuse that with the message we are getting from James. If we look at particularly Luke chapter 19, starting from verse 7, where Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus, and people started saying, "Look, look, he is dining with the rich or the cheats of the community or the society." And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I have come to save the lost." So if the rich or the influential in the society are the lost, why do we want to associate ourselves with the lost? When we are told that the poor will inherit the kingdom of God, the underprivileged will inherit the kingdom of God, so why don't we relate to such people more? As we are called the children of God, so we are looking forward to going to be with our Heavenly Father. So let us relate more with those that are already heirs to the kingdom. There is no room for partiality, favoritism, racism, or whatever you want to call it. Within the family of our God, because our God does not tolerate that, does not practice that. And if we accept that we are his children, then we should follow in our Father's footsteps. Let's look through verse 8 going to 13. Who is reading for us? Can somebody please volunteer to read for us? Okay. Oh, Mary, I didn't. Come on, Mary. Come on.
Okay. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor. Okay. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. You do love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." You do not commit adultery, but you commit murder. You have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Now, keeping the royal law, what is the royal law? Let's look through Leviticus 19, verse 5. Leviticus 19:5. When you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It goes on. It shall be it. Oh, just a moment, please. Now, the royal law talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. We see also in Leviticus 19, verse 15, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, or judge your neighbor unfairly. Be fair to all. Now, in Deuteronomy 6:18, also, we are told that do what is right. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. We have a few more verses that encourage us to follow in the footstep of our Creator, not to show partiality, not to discriminate, not to show favoritism. These verses include Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. We have another verse in Job 13, verse 10, which tells us that he will surely call you to account if you secretly show partiality. Favoritism. Or try to do something for somebody better than you would do for another. Still more, 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Going forward, we find in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, the whole of that chapter 13, 1 to 13, it tells us that whatever we do, if love is not behind it, it is all for nothing. So as we are loved, as the children of the Almighty, let's show that love. Let it radiate through us. Let other people see that love through us, whoever they may be, whether they are English, French, Yorubas, Hausas, Caribbeans, so wherever you are from, difficult as it may be, that is what we are called to do. That particular chapter finishes with, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Going on to verse 10 of the passage that our sister Mary just read for us, it tells us that we have these commands there that we need to keep. Difficult, very difficult. I don't know for you, but very difficult for me. I find it sometimes, and my children will say most times, difficult to keep the promise I make to them. Oh, I will see you, or I will do this for you. Or, and then I get overwhelmed with other things and forget that, oh, I promised my child that, or I promised my wife that. And then we have commands. these laws. And if you break one out of the lot, you are guilty of all. Is it something that we can do with our strength? Is it something, like I say, like most times I tend to forget that I am completely nothing. I try to do things by my strength and then find that it doesn't work. Everything I do by my strength doesn't work. I tell myself, and in fact, not long ago, I remember telling my son, I'm really sorry. I really feel sorry. That's why I'm saying this. I was telling my son, I have all the qualifications in the world for my profession, and yet, most of the employers I have worked for have nothing near my qualification. One of my qualifications. And I kept, and I lost my job. For 7 years. I could not get the most menial job you can think of. And for those 7 years, I was always moaning to everybody that could listen to me, or that had time to hear me. But then, when I was getting back, I never thought that I could get back into anywhere near my previous role. And I think I've said this. Then suddenly, out of the blue, somebody called me and said, can you come to somewhere in Hertfordshire? We need to see you for... My wife is here, and my two children are here. We were together, and they were on half term. And the journey that was meant to take us less than an hour or thereabout took us more than 3 hours. And I called these people. In fact, if we had a way of turning back that day, we would have turned back. My wife is there, and the two children that were with me. This was 2016. I was late for over 2 hours for this meeting. And when I entered the reception, what happened? I'm sorry, I know that people have been told that I talk too much about personal things. When I entered the reception, what happened? I said hello to the way she answered me, I just told myself, what are you even doing here? You are late, over 2 hours. So eventually, the director and one of his deputies came out, received me, took me to a room, and asked me some questions, and I answered as much as I could. And the director looked at me and said, "You look nervous." I said, "Yes. Who will come for an interview 2 hours late and not be nervous?" The man laughed. So, incidentally, I think less than a week thereafter was going to be my birthday, and we even discussed it. And surprisingly, on my birthday, they called me to tell me that you have got the job. And since then, even that sometimes I tend to forget where I have come from, but most times when I wake up in the morning, I almost like pinch myself just to make sure that, is this true? So we have this lots of commandments that if we break one, we are guilty of all. And it is not our strength. It is not our ability. We don't have any tricks that will enable us not to break any of this, but the grace of God. Submission. Our submission to the will of God. For work to create income, there are birds of the air that God has created. Does He leave them hungry? He provides for them. He provides even their shelter. For illnesses, did we create ourselves? No. He created us. So He knows us. And He has a solution for everything. Not almost everything, but everything. So let's try, not try by our strength, but try and submit ourselves. Listen to the word of God. Spend more time reading the Bible. Taking in the message of our Creator, our Alpha and Omega, our everything. And whatever challenges, whatever experiences we are going through, whatever situations we find ourselves, whatever peoples that we meet, be they Africans, Europeans, Americans, Indians, whoever, they are. Let's try submitting under the will of God as children of God. Do that which is required of us. Love them. Otherwise, as it is said out, as we say, whatever you sow, you will reap. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Please, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 2. Can somebody read that for us, please? Yeah, Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 2, yeah. Yeah. That is it. Yes. Some of us, you know, like good things for ourselves, but not so good things for the others. But this is the message we have. This is the message James is giving us. And it is also given in Matthew 7, 1 to 2. And in fact, this reminds me of what I used to see some years back. You will find that people that sell, for example, grains, when they go to buy the grains, they will want to buy it very cheap. And when they are selling it to others, they will sell it very expensive. They will profit here. We love ourselves so much. But our Lord teaches us to love our neighbors as ourselves. No matter the situation, I have seen. I have seen. And even from the testimony I've given you, that because you are a child of God, whatever situation you are in, He will always provide for you, bring you out of that situation, put you on a better pedestal, and walk with you. So, it doesn't cost you much to love your neighbor. It doesn't cost you much. With the submission to the will of God, whatever the difficulty, He will enable you, He will empower you to overcome it in a relationship. He is there. Submit to Him. He will show you to love, and He will make sure that you are loved too. Romans chapter 6, particularly verse 18, says, "We have been set free from sin." We have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We are one with Christ. And if we are one with Christ, let us try to do what Christ will do. Let us be good examples in our homes, in our communities, at the places we work. Avoid bigotry, partiality, discrimination, favoritism, or anything that is not Christ-like. And also, Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 tells us that For we must all appear before the judgment seat, the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in this body, whether good or bad. So, if we believe we are the children of God, let's try and do good. And to show you the level of my weaknesses, or the weaknesses of fellow human beings, that we say that we are Christians. Yesterday afternoon, a sister sent me a message, and in trying to respond to her, in fact, I now saw another message, and it was about a lecturer that had gone to a public radio station to complain. Now, the complaint was that he has been a temporary, or do they call it casual lecturer, for 17 years. For 17 years, he has not been made permanent. And suddenly, the son of the head of department was employed as a permanent employee in that department while he is a student of the lecturer that has been on a temporary role for 17 years. I don't know whether you understand this thing. It was a video of this man complaining. Can you see the level of how partiality, discrimination can take us? 17 years he's been there. And this person that has been employed is this old lecturer's student. And do you know what? He had not even graduated yet. I find it not, it's like, it is a, it's not true. How can somebody do that? How can we do that? So you see, we destroy ourselves. We do things as if, in fact, we do satanic things. So I believe it is because we try to do it by our own strength, and we think that is the right thing. No. So submit to the will of God. Now, I may be taking your time. James chapter 4, the first part of verse 11 says, "Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law." What should you do? Love one another instead? whoever you meet, wherever you meet them, whatever their status, love them as Christ has taught us to love. May the grace of our God continue to abide with us and empower us to love as Christ. Amen. Okay.